I'm going to hand over to our guest speaker, Rupert Standring, who has now arrived thanks to the Jubilee line.
No,
so over to him. No thanks to the Jubilee line.
Marcus, thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Well, the question that we are considering this evening is the question, will Jesus take away my freedom? And I guess the fact that we're even considering this as one of our ultimate questions of this week of events shows how important freedom is to us as human beings, how highly we value it. And maybe it also shows how suspicious we are of Jesus Christ or Christianity or religion in general in taking away our freedom. The Rolling Stones, performing on Copacabana Beach on Saturday, sang, "I'm free to do what I want any old time." Martin Luther King had a dream that one day all men, black and white, would be free at last. We've begun revolutions to win freedom. We've waged wars. Millions of people have given their lives to defend freedom. We fight for it. We kill for it. We yearn for freedom as human beings. And we feel that anything that gets in its way, that threatens freedom, can and should be swept out of the way, whatever the cost, whatever it is. Diderot, the French philosopher, one of the brains behind the French Revolution, he once wrote these words: "We will never be truly free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest." There you go. Just what you wanted to hear after beef and mushroom pie. Maybe it sounds a bit extreme, but at least it shows you how much he valued freedom, at least what he thought was standing in the way of that and what should be done about it. It also maybe gives you a hint as to how he might have answered this question this evening. Will Jesus take away my freedom? Absolutely, he would have said, or absolument, I guess, as he was French. And maybe that's what you're thinking as well. You wouldn't quite put it like he did, strangling and entrails and all that kind of stuff. But from where you're sitting, your freedom and the person of Jesus Christ, or perhaps the idea of you becoming a Christian, well, they just don't mix. You can't have them both. You either have one or the other. I want to question that. Is that right? Is that right? Is it a case of either Jesus Christ or freedom? On your tables, you'll find a copy of John's Gospel. There should be enough for one each. Do, if you will, grab a copy and turn with me in there to page 26. There should be enough to go around, I think, yeah. Page 26. Because I want us to look together at some words of Jesus Christ, words that he spoke about freedom, and to see whether or not this suspicion that we may or may not have about him and our freedom is justified. Let me read. Do you see on page 26, "The truth will set you free"? Let me read some words from that section. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" Now, I don't know what you feel or how you react when you hear Jesus saying those words about freedom. I think for a lot of people, when they hear what he has to say, it actually confirms their suspicions about Christianity. Sure, Jesus is here talking about freedom, about the truth setting you free. He's talking about being free indeed. But actually what he's offering, if you listen to him, is control. Control, not freedom. So when he says there, in verse 31 at the top. If you abide in my word, that is, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. What many people hear him to be saying is, I want to be the one who tells you what to do with your life. I want to be the person who tells you what you can do and what you can't do. I want to be the person who controls you. And I think the reason many people think that that's what he's saying in these verses is because fundamentally as human beings, we don't want anyone to tell us what to do. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do, whether that's Tony Blair, whether that's Gordon Brown, whether that's Jesus Christ. We want to be free. And that's the first part of the answer that I want to put together to this question this evening. Will Jesus take away my freedom? Well, many of us think, yes, he will, because we want to be free. See, here he comes talking about holding to his teaching, and that doesn't sound very liberating. He says, if you look on the next verse, verse 32, that we will be set free if we follow him. Well, to many, that just sounds like a contradiction in terms. Following anyone isn't freedom. I don't know if you've seen the film, the Monty Python film, The Life of Brian. It's a great film if you haven't seen it. I do recommend it. But I wonder if you remember the bit just after Brian's mother has said these immortal words, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. And Brian comes to the window and he says to the crowds who are all standing around his house, you're all individuals. And if you remember, they all chant back in unison, we're all individuals. And then as he goes on to explain, he says this, don't let anyone tell you what to do. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. And his point, and really I think the point of the film as a whole, is that religion, any religion, and specifically Christianity, which of course is the easiest and safest religion to criticize, is at best foolish and at worst dangerous. You'd have to be an idiot to follow any one of those religions, to give up your freedom in that particular way, to follow someone else and their teaching, whether that person is called Brian or Jesus Christ or Muhammad. And maybe as we look around our world today, that point looks right. The fanatical following of any leader always seems to lead to folly or danger. Bitter enmity and violence between religions, even within the same religion. We want to be free. Religion threatens that freedom. And so we reject religion, and specifically, maybe we reject the claims that Jesus Christ is making here in John's Gospel. That there is a connection between him, his teaching, and genuine, lasting freedom for human beings. Well, can I say, if that's your response to what Jesus is saying here, then you're not alone. You're not alone. The very first people who heard Jesus make that connection, well, they rejected it too. Just have a look back to the words that we were looking at a moment ago. It's on page 26 if you've lost it. You might want to keep a finger in there. We'll be looking back at that a number of times. Have a look at where it says 33. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? In other words, they're saying, what do you mean, Jesus? We need to follow you to be free. We are free. We Jews, we are Abraham's offspring, Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. And maybe as you reflect yourself on Jesus' teaching here, you find yourself saying much the same thing. What are you talking about, Jesus? Setting us free, setting me free. I am free. It's a great comeback, really, isn't it, to what Jesus is saying. But there is a problem with it, at least for what they're saying, and that it's not entirely true. In fact, it's not true at all. Now, you may not be completely up on your Old Testament history, but you may well have seen the Prince of Egypt. Well, do you remember that? Not only were the Jews, Abraham's descendants, slaves in Egypt for hundreds and hundreds of years, but also that was a part of their history they commemorate even today with the Passover festival. It's an event and its experience burned into their national consciousness. But beyond that, they were also captured and taken off into captivity to a place called Babylon. And even as this conversation is taking place in John's Gospel, they are under Roman occupation. Do you see what's going on here? They want to be free. They certainly don't want the freedom that Jesus is offering them. But the truth is, they're not as free as they think they are. And I wonder whether it's just the same with us today. We want to be free. We don't want the freedom that Jesus is offering us. Maybe it sounds more like slavery than freedom. But the truth is, we're not as free as we think we are. That's the second part of the answer to this question. We want to be free, but we're not as free as we think we are. Let me just suggest very quickly three areas in which we're not as free as we think we are. First of all, society. Society. We all live in a society, and that automatically constrains our freedom as individuals. There are laws to stop you doing things, laws to stop you speeding. There's also a lot of traffic to stop you speeding if you live in London. There are laws to stop you stealing, however you want to go about your stealing, whether it's driving a 7-ton lorry with £50 million in it, or whether it's a bit of insider trading. There are laws to stop you murdering, which is a good law if you have young children. There are laws to stop you behaving in all sorts of ways that you might otherwise want to behave. See, we're not as free as we like to think we are because of the way that we live in society. I guess a very obvious example of that at the moment is the freedom of speech that we have. Draw a cartoon of Muhammad and publish it in a newspaper and see what happens next. Society means we're not as free as we think. Secondly, so does science. Science. You see, for many people, science, particularly science that does away with God, it liberates us as human beings. It frees us from the slavery of superstition and ignorance, and it enables us to understand ourselves as we truly are, as we scientifically are. Well, listen to a man called Richard Dawkins, a biologist from Oxford University. He says this: in a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt and some people are going to get lucky. And we won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe we observe, he says, has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to its music. See, for many people, science delivers us from God, but only into the hands of DNA, and DNA just is. We dance to its music. See, we're not as free as we like to think we are. But it's not just society or science that tells us that. Thirdly, it's also ourselves. Now, we don't often want to admit this or face the truth about ourselves, but the fact is, we are slaves ourselves. And it's this that Jesus is focusing on in this particular conversation. Look back at what he says in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Here are these people saying to Jesus, "We don't need you to set us free. We've never been slaves." And Jesus says to them, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But he doesn't mention Egypt or Babylon or the Romans. He doesn't mention society or science. He says, you're slaves to sin. And he says exactly the same thing to us. You think you're free, but in fact, you're slaves to sin. What does he mean by that? I think it'd be fair to say that sin is a totally devalued, discredited term nowadays. We tend to think of sin as being the word that other people use when they tell me that I'm doing something wrong. And no one has the right to tell me what I'm doing and whether it's right or wrong. Actually, what Jesus means here by using the word sin is simply doing your own thing. Doing your own thing. Cutting God out of your life, putting yourself at the center of your life, and then putting yourself in the place that he should occupy. And once you've done that, and we've all done that, Jesus is saying we're enslaved to that. We're enslaved to that arrangement, to that way of living. We have to, and in fact we can only, seek our own self-interest. We can only do what we want to do. Well, you may say to yourself, well, if that's the slavery that Jesus is talking about here, enslaved to do what I want to do, then I can live with that, because that sounds to me like freedom. Well, if that's what you're thinking, let me try and show you that you're wrong about that and that Jesus Christ is right. Let me try and show you that this kind of slavery that he's talking about here, slavery to yourself, is in fact the worst kind of slavery that there is. Now, I said that this is something that we've all done as human beings. We've all cut God out of the picture and put ourselves in the place that he belongs in our lives. We've all done that. But actually, that looks different in each one of us. It comes out in a different way. For instance, if money is your thing, if that's the way putting yourself at the center of your life comes out, how much money do you need to be satisfied? Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate and multimillionaire, was once asked that same question. How much is enough? And his reply, just a little more. Enslaved. Or maybe money is not your thing. Maybe it's power. Power and influence over others or in life. Power to get things done. When do you have enough power to get things done? When do you accomplish enough? Feel that you have enough influence? Enslaved. See, the rich and the powerful, they do whatever they want to do. But that's not freedom. It's slavery. They're enslaved by those things that they live for. Euripides, the Greek playwright, I think he saw the same thing. He put it this way. He said, no one is wholly free. No one is wholly free. You're either a slave to wealth or to the law or to the people that you're seeking to please. Once you cut God out of your life and take his place, that's sin. And you're enslaved to that way of living. We want to be free. We're not as free as we think we are. In fact, the truth is we're enslaved. But then, thirdly and finally, this, the last part of the answer to this question is true freedom is found only in Jesus Christ. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ. Look back with me at those words of his, how he begins in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you see what he's saying there? Freedom is found in the truth. The truth is found in his word. All we have to do is abide in it, is live by it. hold on to it. Oasis, the band's latest album, is called Don't Believe the Truth. I haven't heard it, but I hear it's a load of rubbish. What are they saying by calling their album Don't Believe the Truth? What they're saying really is there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as truth. Jesus Christ is saying exact opposite. He's saying there is such a thing as truth, and it can be found in his word, and it can set you free. But you might be thinking to yourself, well, hold on a sec. Living by his word, that doesn't sound like freedom. That sounds like slavery. Always trying to be good, always trying to do the right thing, always trying to do what Jesus tells you to do. If Jesus is telling me that my freedom is in fact slavery, well then his freedom sounds an awful lot more like slavery. Is it? Is the freedom that he's offering slavery? See, what you find when you begin to look into his word, when you begin to actually look at what it is you need to abide in, not abide by, but abide in, well, what you find is it's not a long list of do's and don'ts. It's not a program of moral improvement or religious duties. What you find is that it's not really about you at all and about what you have to do. It's all about him and what he can do for you. Let me just give you two very brief examples. Turn with me to page 18. Two tasters of Jesus' word, where we will find the truth that sets us free. Page 18. And you see the bottom paragraph on the left-hand side there. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Do you see? No religious duties there. Nothing to do but come to him for all the hunger, all the thirst that we have in our life, to be completely satisfied in him. Turn on to page 34. Page 34, and in the middle of that top paragraph there, Jesus said to her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you see, there's nothing to do there. Nothing to do but believe in him for life. Life beyond death. See, the sort of freedom that we're looking for in this life, the sort of freedom that maybe we're looking for beyond this life, it's all found in Jesus. All we have to do is hold on to his teaching. True freedom is found in the truth. The truth is found in Jesus' word. And his word is not about religious duties. His word is not about moral improvement. His word is all about himself and the life that he gives you. Now, I don't know if that still sounds to you like slavery, or whether it's beginning to sound like the sort of freedom that you're interested in. Come back with me to page 26 for one last time. And those words that we began with. And look with me where it says, verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Can you see that what Jesus is offering is not slavery? In fact, he's making a deliberate contrast here with what he's offering and slavery. Slaves, he's saying, they don't remain in the house forever. Their position is temporary. Their position is insecure. Only the son remains forever. Only his position is permanent, is safe, What Jesus is offering us as the Son with a capital S, as you can see, is to turn us from being slaves, which is what we are, slaves to sin, slaves to ourselves, to turn us into being sons. Sons who will remain. Sons whose position is secure. Sons who belong in the house forever. Only he can do that for you. And if he does that for you, well, then he says, you'll be free indeed. You'll be free forever. We want to be free. We're not as free as we think we are. In fact, our so-called freedom is slavery. True freedom, freedom that lasts forever, is only found in Jesus, in abiding in his word that's all about him. Many of us here have experienced that freedom for ourselves. We know that. We have been, as it says here, set free by the Son. But if that's not you, it may be that this evening you've realized, maybe for the first time, that your precious freedom that you value so much is not what you thought it was. That in fact it's slavery. That true freedom that you yearn for, that lasts, can only be found in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to end this talk now with a prayer. It won't be for everyone, but it will be for you if you want to be set free by the Son. Let's bow our heads and I'll lead us in a short prayer. Do echo these words in your heart if this is for you. Lord Jesus, I want to be free in my life. I see now that I'm not as free as I thought I was, that my freedom is slavery, that true freedom, freedom that lasts forever, can only be found in you. I come to you now believing that you can set me free, that you can turn me from the slave that I am into a son who belongs, who remains in the house forever. Amen. Well, can I say, if that's a prayer that you prayed, welcome to the house. Welcome to God's family, a place you belong, a place in which you will remain forever. But can I say, if that's not you, if you're not yet convinced that your freedom is slavery and the freedom Jesus offers you is true freedom, then keep looking, keep thinking, keep looking at the evidence, look into his word, because he says that in his word, that's where you find freedom. Thanks for listening. I'm going to hand back over to Marcus.
Just to remind you that we're going to have a question time after dessert and coffee, so if you've got any questions at all, you'll find these slips of paper on your tables. Please do jot down your question in as legible a form as you can manage at this time of the evening. That would be great. And then we'll take just a quarter of an hour in the final bit of the evening and hand them over to Rupert to give answers to them. So I'll come and collect them from the tables in 10 minutes or so. Thank you.